I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region.
Welcome back to Connections, and our guest is Jason Groh, a candidate for at-large city council in Gloucester. Welcome to the program. Can you give us a little bit of a bio, and then we could get into some questions about the issues?
Sure. Good morning. Well, let's see. I'm a 21-year resident of Gloucester. I'm married to Sarah Groh, who is the Director of Advocacy and Development at The Open Door. We have three daughters who all went through the Gloucester public school system and are now happily ensconced in various colleges and universities. I've been a photographer for 32 years, good grief, and doing magazine and corporate work. I keep bees, I surf, I have a dog, and then chickens. What else do you need to know? Oh, also, let me, I was a former Ward 1 counselor and chairman of the Budget and Finance Committee. That sort of is the 15-second version.
Okay, that works. You're coming back to City Council after a period off. What inspired you to come back, and what do you see the challenges in front of you, and how are those different than what you faced when you were here before?
That's an excellent question. The reasons I've decided to come back or try to come back is that I see several things going on. One, about half the council is going to be leaving this term, and it really concerned me that we would have a council that had sort of such a freshman presence, and in a time when we're looking at the possibility of a new mayor, or you know, even the existing mayor going on, they're going to need a council that is got some experience and has got some ability to function as a cohesive unit. So I'd like to bring some of my experience back to the council at a time when I think it needs it. And I think there are some issues that are putting Gloucester kind of at the tipping point, you know, in terms of where we see ourselves in the next 10 years or so. And those, you know, revolve around creating housing that is affordable for families and seniors, so that seniors can stay in their community and that new families can start their lives here in Gloucester. Infrastructure issues obviously have been a big concern for many, many years, including roads. It's a really thorny issue that needs to be more thoroughly addressed. We've got other issues revolving around climate change and how we're going to respond as a local community to the impending crisis, or the ongoing crisis, actually. It's on us right now. And so, you know, I just feel like I've got time now that I didn't have, you know, when I left the council 10 years ago, I had three kids in school and a lot of obligations, and now that they're off and in the wind, I have more time to rededicate back to the community. Sarah and I have a real strong feeling and connection to Gloucester, and this is sort of my way of giving back in hopes of making it, or, you know, keeping it a community that I feel is vibrant and family oriented and just a great place to be, and I want to be a part of that. As far as what's different from 2007 when I first came in here is that we're certainly fiscally in a lot better shape than we were back then. We faced a lot of challenges budgetarily in the city, but also just economically. And there were a lot of really horrible, difficult decisions that had to be made. And, you know, I feel like that there has been a lot of progress made in terms of the financial management, and also the general economy is better. So we're looking at the opportunity of sort of building things instead of constantly sort of triaging what needs to be cut. So I'm grateful for that, because it was definitely a difficult time being on the council when there were so many challenges in terms of services being cut and people being cut. You know, one of the things that I'm proud of back in my previous term was Budget and Finance Committee worked really hard on sort of diving into the budget and finding things that needed to be addressed, including the fact that a massive software conversion error basically hid $4 million. I mean, we fixed a big problem that allowed that to be solved and bring back into the budget. So that was a big thing. I'm cautiously optimistic about Gloucester moving forward. That we have a lot of good things that we need to be working on, and there's some serious things that we need to be working on. But I think Gloucester's at a tipping point, and now's the time to get involved with it.
Well, I've got a question for you, and it may seem like it's coming out of left field, but if you look, I'd like to address the issue of public participation in the governance. There are many boards and commissions and committees that serve on a volunteer basis, but the people who are involved in them tend to be from the outer ring of the city. They tend to be 60 years or older. So I think, you know, a few years ago, it was like about 86% of the people who served on boards and commissions were 60 years or older. And the majority of them came from wards 1, 4, and 5. If you look at the history of the elections in Gloucester, the mayors have all come from wards 1, 4, and 5. Except for Bill Rafter, and that goes back to 1971 in the old form of government. What does it take, do you think, to get either younger people or people who live in wards 2 and 3 to become more invested and involved in the city government?
That is a magic question. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think the reason, you know, most of the boards and commissions are populated by people who are in their 60s and older, is frankly is a question of time. I mean, a lot of these boards serve, and they take a great deal of time. So that being, you know, young with a family or working sometimes, you know, two jobs, you don't have the opportunity to step in and sit on a commission, you know, one night a week or one night every 2 weeks and all the other related work that goes along with that, because meetings are only, you know, the one manifestation of what you're doing. Most of the boards and commissions have a lot of homework that goes into it. So there's a lot of reasons why people who, you know, in their 60s, their kids are gone and they're doing other things and they've got time. So that's one issue. Another issue is, you know, frankly, kind of an issue of political involvement. You know, wards 1, 5, and 4, well, let's put it this way, wards 2 and 3, tend to be financially more challenged. There's greater levels of folks that are having to work two jobs. There's only so many hours in the day, and if you're spending most of your time trying to keep your family together and your work together and your home together, you don't necessarily have time to go and jump on the licensing board or whatnot. But, you know, I do think you're absolutely right. I think the direction of your question is, how do we get people to be involved? And I think that is that, you know, you have to reach out to them. You have to, you know, we have to do a better job as a city government in addressing the concerns and the needs of wards 2 and 3 in such a way that we get people excited about being involved. I think there's, you know, if you feel like nobody's listening to you, then you don't tend to want to speak. So there are definitely issues, I think, that in downtown that need to be addressed, and I think that we can do a better job in holding ward meetings and community meetings downtown so that people have a place to go and register their thoughts on various issues. And that's something that we can do on a more regular basis. I don't know.
I want to move on to another question, if I can. Sure. Thank you. You talked about finances, and the city rents a lot of space pays a lot of money in rent for space in different facilities. What can we do to remedy that? And when is the central fire station going to be moved to the front of the line in terms of getting a new modern facility? You know, we can, you know, they always fall to the bottom, it seems, and I'm wondering if that's something that you think will be addressed in the next 2 years.
Well, you know, I'm always one to answer a question with I don't know if I don't know. You know, a lot of that has to do with the priorities coming out of the mayor's office. You know, the council doesn't direct the direction of what projects are prioritized. What we do is we focus our efforts on challenging the administration to, you know, more finely tune their priorities. And if building a new fire station should be a priority, then, you know, I think the council can express their concerns to the administration and move that along. I mean, we have, it's old news and it's not something that we can necessarily rehash, but, you know, we had talked about moving a lot of the municipal offices up to the Fuller Building before it was sold and turned into what it is now. And I think that was a missed opportunity at the time. You know, though we certainly need housing. There was a long, long period of time where that just sat fallow and not doing anything. And I think we could have done a better job in terms of moving, city services up into a common building. You know, for instance, I love City Hall. I think City Hall is amazing, and I would love to see, I've said this for years, that City Hall, the government offices don't necessarily need to be in City Hall anymore, that we could use that building for other things and centralize our city services into a common building. I don't know, where the mayor's office is in terms of projects like the fire station. I agree with you. It seems like that we definitely need to modernize and bring that into a place that is probably a little bit more functional for the fire department. But you know, and maybe some of the infrastructure money that is being considered, the ARPA money, can be used for that. I just don't, to be honest with you, I don't have a clear picture on that. I haven't heard from either candidate what their priorities are in terms of that. But I, you know, it's one of those things that a city council can definitely help focus and shape as it moves forward through the process.
Is this when the founders created the charter, we just our last guest, Tony Gross's mother was a member of that board, they wanted a strong mayor form of government elected by the people, but they wanted a city council that was a check and balance for the mayor's office. And where do you see that in terms of how it's played out, say, the last when you were there now and maybe what it is now? Is there some institutional rivalry there, or is it all everybody walking in lockstep, and how should it be?
But it should be. I see it as more as a co-equal form of government. Yeah, well, they call it a strong mayor in the sense that the mayor is independent from the council, as opposed to, say, you know, having a city manager who would be answerable to the council. But I see the city council primarily as the representative board. They are representing the citizens of Gloucester, the residents of Gloucester. And our job is to collaborate with the mayor's office when it's appropriate and to push back when it's appropriate. I don't ever want to see a city council that is a rubber stamp for any mayor and doesn't do their due diligence in researching issues and the concerns of the residents on any particular issue, because that's not a functioning government. I think you need to have some pushback. You need to have city councilors who are willing to push back even on projects they might support. I got a lot of grief on some issues where I would push back on things because the assumption was that they were coming to the council and they were going to breeze through. And I knew that people had concerns or they had questions that hadn't been asked. And I think my job as a city councilor is sometimes, even if I agree with a project or a proposal, is to ask questions from the other side of the issue. You know, if I can get good answers coming out from the administration on a particular proposal, a particular issue, by asking questions that, you know, I might even, you know, again, I might agree with the project, but if I ask questions from people who don't agree with the project or don't agree with how things are going, and they're answered well, that bolsters the argument for putting something forward. You know, I was a supporter of the the Essex Tech Vocational School, but I asked questions about whether or not we should actually continue to be involved in that collaboration. And I got people really angry with me because they thought that I was against the tech. And I said, no, I'm not asking these questions because I want to kill the project. I'm asking these questions because there are people out there with legitimate concerns. And if I ask the questions, then they can hear the answers and they'll know that we've done our job in trying to make sure that we're doing the best for the city.
Well, you're right. The issue with the Essex Tech, one of the issues with Essex Tech is that if you had twin daughters and you sent one of them to Gloucester High School and one to Essex Tech, they would spend about $12,000, maybe $13,000 to educate your daughter that was at Gloucester High, and $25,000 if they went to Essex Tech. And there's an imbalance there. So you were right.
Well, there is. I have twin daughters. the answer to that is that number is not that number. That number is a division of what it costs to provide the services that students are receiving. And so when people say we spend $12,000 on a student in Gloucester, understand that is also the accumulated special needs costs, which are mandated by the state. You can have a student in Gloucester who is a resident of Gloucester, who's never actually in a Gloucester public school system, school, who might cost the district $150,000 because they're in an outplacement or a special needs home or something like that. That figure gets factored into the amount. So, you know, when you talk about the Essex Tech, they're buying, you know, tons of sophisticated equipment and specialized material stuff for their various programs. So it's going to, by definition, cost more per student. But I don't think that means that we're shortchanging the Gloucester High School students. I think it's just a question of what the overall cost of those educations cost. that being said, I'd like to see us spend more on education. I think we have terrific schools. I'm proud of the education that my girls got. They all went to great schools. I know that we can send kids to great schools. I know we have great programs that help kids that aren't necessarily college bound. But I do think that we have an obligation to set our kids up for best possible success, and that we could be doing more on the education front in terms of overall funding and helping out kids that are maybe not necessarily on the college track, move through the system a little bit more effectively. Also, we have a great number of kids who are coming in now who are English language learners and who have definite socioeconomic issues that have to be addressed in the school system. So, you know, a lot of people like to compare us to Manchester, who doesn't have that kind of issue, those kinds of issues to deal with. But I think for Gloucester, we're doing an exceptional job. I think we can do better. I'd like to see us do better. But I think that the mindset of the importance of excellence in education is definitely something that is growing in Gloucester, and I'm proud of that.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and wish you the very best of success in your campaign. Election is next week. You are where on the ballot?
Yeah, it's coming up. I'm number 7 on the ballot, so I consider that to be extremely lucky.
Good, good, good.
Yes.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck, and let's hope it is. And we'll be talking to you probably next week. Take care, Jason. Thank you.
Very, very good, Josh. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.